WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes. President Biden marking Veterans Day this morning, attending a commemoration ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. It honors the sacrifice of those who put our nation first. But CBS's Catherine Herridge tells us military service can be challenging for troops and their families. There are those trying to help.
The charity started by Gary Markell has sent more than 1,100 special operators and their partners on retreats designed to mend relationships damaged by the call of duty. With donors loaning their vacation homes from Aspen, Colorado to Naples, Florida and the Caribbean.
Now to Israel. Where tens of thousands of civilians in Gaza who had been sheltering at the largest hospital are fleeing as Israel's military forces close in. Israel says it is not firing on the hospital, but is clashing with Hamas militants around it. CBS's Raimi Innocencio.
Without shelter, under bombardment, the injured have fewer places for medical care. The clinic still open, massively overcrowded. This maternity wing used to deliver 10 babies a day. In the last 24 hours, they've had 45 innocents born into war.
In London, police say they have arrested 82 people in a counter-protest to a massive pro-Palestinian march. The BBC's Graham Satchel.
As far as the eye can see, there are banners, flags and placards and people chanting Free Palestine and Ceasefire Now. Organizers say there may be more than 500,000 people here. It is the timing of this protest, coming on Remembrance Weekend, that has caused concern for some. The Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has called it disrespectful. Protesters I've spoken to say nothing could be more appropriate on Armistice Day than calling for a ceasefire.
CBS News has confirmed that the FBI seized electronic devices from New York City Mayor Eric Adams as part of a probe into his campaign fundraising. CBS's Michelle Miller.
It's all part of an investigation into whether Adams' 2021 campaign conspired with the Turkish government to receive foreign donations funneled through straw donors. On Friday, Adams' attorney told CBS News that the mayor has not been accused of any wrongdoing and continues to cooperate with the investigation.
Also in New York, police are becoming increasingly worried by the hostility and number of protests involving the Israel-Hamas war. Grand Central Station was briefly shut down last night during a large pro-Palestinian demonstration. Police say there are rallies being held every single day. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered rain showers. High of 43. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 36 tonight, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Hey, folks, how we doing? Excuse the voice. I know I'm a little bit, I don't know if I'm sick or just, I did a slew of shows over the weekend, and then I've been doing podcasts since with Miles. We've been doing our Bellied Up podcast. Miles Montplaisir, the You Betcha guy, who is also our guest on today's Cripes Cast. Miles and I have another podcast together, the Bellied Up podcast. Those of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that. Those of you who don't. Now you know. I'm sitting in a hotel in Fargo right now. Oh, Fargo is beautiful this time of the year, folks. I tell you what. Jeez Louise. Hasn't quite snowed here yet, so it doesn't quite look like a moon landing, but little pre-moon landing Fargo. What else do we got cooking? Oh, I was on tour this past weekend in Burnsville, Minnesota. Boy, oh boy, we had six shows. Six shows there. I cannot thank you guys enough for coming out and seeing me. I felt like a lot of the shows were really good. I'm really working out this new hour and finding what hits and what doesn't. So when you have six shows right back to back to back to back, really helps you do that. So, man, I had a lot of fun. Really did. Thank you, Burnsville. Coming up this week, I guess Marshfield. I'm going to go see you. Houghton up in the UP of Michigan. That'll be fun. And then Fish Creek, baby, the thumb of Wisconsin. I'll be there on Sunday. All right. With that, folks, here is my conversation with my very good pal, Miles Montplaisir. Miles, the You Betcha guy, the co-host of the Bellied Up. Miles, my buddy. Here we go.
All right. Here I am with one of my very, very, very dear friends, Miles Montplaisir, the You Betcha guy. He's been on the podcast a few times. Mm-hmm. I think you've been on the Cripescast the most of any other guest,
Miles. That adds up. We get together and podcast every eight, nine weeks.
So. Yeah, which we do for folks who don't know for the Bellied Up podcast. Miles, give the spiel of the Bellied Up podcast for people who might want to see us on, you know, our own podcast.
Yeah, together. Bellied Up podcast. Basically, Charlie and I go and belly up to a bar. And just like any good bar, we give good advice while we're drinking at the bar.
Yeah. Do you actually think that we give good advice?
Well, there's sometimes where I come to a fork in the road, Charlie.
Yeah.
And one path says give good advice. And then the other side says give bad advice, but it will be funny.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I take the second road.
It is a lot more fun. I try sometimes to actually give good advice, and you take that fork and you stick it in my tires.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You deflate that right away.
I think they call that a yin and yang.
Charlie. Yin and yang. It's nice.
But yeah, thanks for having me back on the podcast.
Yeah.
No, I think though your audience has got to be pretty sick of us doing this.
No, doing what, Miles? What do you think we're doing right
you
now?
You and I doing the Cripescast together.
Do you think the audience is thinking, "Oh boy, Charlie didn't have another guest. He didn't plan ahead."
If they're followers of you, yes, they should know that by now.
Well, Miles, that's not true, and I want the audience to know that that's not true. By the way, if you're wondering where we're recording, we are recording in Miles's very clean podcast studio.
Home game for me here, an away game for you.
It is an away game. So what you been up to lately, huh? Give people a sense of you're married now, you know. Have you been on the podcast since you got married?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it has been a minute. So it's really a treat to have you
back. Yeah, it's been at least a year, don't you think? Yeah, yeah.
All right, Miles.
So I'm still married, by the way.
Good for you. Yeah. I was going to ask. It's going good then.
So far, so good. Still married. Isn't that the goal of marriage, pretty much? Just to stay married?
Yeah. I mean, on top of that, the frosting on top of
the love.
The love, yeah. And enjoying the marriage and growing your life with somebody and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah. But mostly just stay married, right?
Yeah, something like that. So, Miles, what are the top three tips you have for staying happily married in the Midwest?
Well, I don't know about just the Midwest. I think just in general, though, what I've noticed, really got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
There's some times where, like, you could bring up something, and then you just got to think, like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Well, give me one recently where
I don't really have an example. It's mostly just, like I've also noticed that the sooner you come to just know that you're going to get scheduled for stuff that you don't really want to do and you just have to do it, that's part of marriage, the easier it's going to go.
Stuff
will just show up on my calendar of dinner with these people and whatever. And it's just like, oh, just have to accept that and not be like, well, I'm busy or anything like that. You just have to do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Don't make a fight over something that you can stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. That's good. Next.
Oh.
I asked for three.
Okay.
That was one.
Well, one was pick your battles. Two, accept that you're going to have to go to stuff that you don't want to.
Okay. I feel like you're really stretching. I feel like that could have been a bullet point under one, but that's fine. All right. We'll go to right to three.
What's I think
three?
The other thing is, I think that marriage is getting a bad rap these days. You know, it's like, I feel like every time I go on social media, it's like marriage is hard. You're going to, I don't, and I know it's like only been 6 months, but there's not even been close to like, oh, this marriage thing is hard. It's just, I feel like,
well, that's great.
I know. That's kind of what I mean is if you find the right person, it shouldn't be hard.
Find the right
But one. Everyone's always like, marriage is so hard. And I don't have kids yet, so that might change.
Yeah.
But that being a parent's hard, not marriage, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
it might be ludicrous of me here.
That's a good philosophy.
And Anne may leave me tomorrow, and then I'm like, all this is shot. So hard. If Anne leaves me, I'm going to need to do an emergency Cripes cast with you and just backtrack everything I just said.
An ECC. Yeah. We can do that. We can line that up. How is Anne doing?
She's good.
Yeah. Nice. Great. You know, Miles, it's like pulling teeth on this podcast. What are these one word answers?
Well, that was kind of a, sorry. Yeah, she's been doing great. You know, she's got her stuff and she's been keeping busy. And
now we're talking. Now that's a response I can work with.
The token interview answer.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on David Letterman right now.
Yeah. Why do you have to roast me on my own podcast?
That wasn't a roast. David Letterman had a very successful career.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're commenting on the style, the late night style. Funny. You feel like there's an audience right there or something. So you meant that in a good way, then?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah. Next segment is, does it sink or does it float?
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of fun.
That would be good. Yeah. Nice. Hey,
starting off with Miles's marriage. Does it sink or does it float?
6 months in, still floating. So what made you guys want to redesign the podcast studio?
Well, our first podcast studio was just kind of stuffy. You know, it felt too corporate-y, felt a little too David Letterman.
I also like how Jared's over here laughing at Jared. Can you please start laughing at my jokes too? Okay. Not just Miles's. Yeah, I'll do that. And when you laugh at Miles's, can you laugh just a little bit off the mic so they think he's getting lots of laughs at me? That'd be great. Thanks. Yeah. It's my podcast.
So now. We just kind of threw this together. We got a bunch of random stuff. That's a deer I shot there.
Was that the first deer you shot, Miles?
That was my second deer I ever shot.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's deer season now. I've been out once. I went out bow hunting one time. Gun season starts in Wisconsin. Is it this weekend? No, next weekend. But it opened up in Minnesota, and you went.
I went, and I didn't go hunting. I just went and sat in the woods for 15 hours over the weekend, and didn't shoot anything. So I don't think I'm technically hunting then. I'm more so just sitting in nature.
Do you enjoy sitting in nature?
I do for like 2 hours.
2 hours.
Then, you know, so where we hunt, I got to walk into the woods to my deer stand, right? So we park outside and then I go walk in. Of course, it's uphill. And I got all my gear on and I got my backpack, my gun, my snowsuit, and I'm going to my stand. By the time I get there, I'm in a full sweat.
Yeah.
So first then you're like, okay, well now I got to start shedding layers. But then about an hour later, your blood starts to settle a little bit. Then you start getting cold. Then you got to put layers back on. And it's this whole thing of just hot, cold, hot, cold. Then by hour three, you can't feel your toes. And you're like, what am I doing out here? I haven't shot anything.
Are you a big snacker in the deer stand?
I'm kind of paranoid a little bit.
Because you'd think the sense of the food you're
eating. If I was like sitting in a heated stand in a field and that whole thing, I would be snacking whole time.
Yeah.
Because I'm in close quarters in the woods. It's, in my opinion, it's like a little bit closer to bow hunting that way, where like I'm just in the woods. I'm not in an enclosed stand or anything like that. So I get a little paranoid, but you reach a point where you're like, honestly, I'm so hungry. and I need some coffee. Do I really care that much if I shoot a deer? I think I'd rather eat.
Yeah. You know, you kind of try to eat a little bit, especially you get yourself nice and full before you go up there. So you're not tempted to do it. But at some point you're going to be like, all right, this is going to throw off the scent. The little rapping noises might, you know, cause a deer to go away, but I'm just going to do it anyway. It's just how it rolls there. Mm-hmm. Did you have any deer hunting thoughts when you were up there? You know, just deer stand thoughts, random things that came into the old noggin, that realizations, anything?
Yeah, I think there's almost stages, right? Like the first stage is this first, like you go through, because I got a range finder.
Yeah.
You start trying to guess how far away trees are.
I was doing that same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that one looks about 40 and it's like 36.
Yeah.
So there's that stage. Then you spend so much time looking at the ground. Once in a while, I like to just look at the sky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you like about looking at the sky there, Mike?
I like watching all the trees sway.
Do you ever think about all the trees that don't fall on you?
Like all the trees ever?
Yeah. It's a
I've never had a tree fall on me.
Well, it happens. A buddy of mine had a tree fall on him.
That's like maybe the worst luck I've ever heard.
It's bad luck, but it's a gratitude practice because you look around at the trees.
Well, then you start getting deep, right? Then you're like thinking like that tree is so old.
I know.
Right? Like a 40-foot high tree has got to be hundreds of years old.
And you think about all the stuff that tree has seen.
All of the times it's seen me fall asleep in the stand.
Yeah. Did you have your phone out there with you?
I try not to.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, mostly because I'm afraid that I'm going to have my sound on and I'm scrolling on Instagram and then all of a sudden you hear, hey there, folks. Welcome to the Cripes Cast. And I'm like,
you know what? It would be an honor of mine to scare a big old buck away from you.
Yeah.
So then, all right. So you go from looking at the clouds, guessing with the rangefinder, staring at a leaf. What comes next?
And then you get to a point where you're now getting it. I think before there's two more stages. The next stage is, what am I even doing out here? Think of all the other stuff I could be doing instead of just sitting here staring at the leaves. Right. And then the last stage is just, you just get mad.
Yeah.
You're just mad. You haven't seen anything or that the right deer hasn't walked through. But I was thinking, Charlie.
Yeah. Good for you.
There you go.
Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that laugh.
I was thinking,
yeah,
the fact that we ever do shoot a big buck is kind of a miracle. The chances that the day that you're sitting in that tree, the chances that that perfect buck is walking through, the chance has got to be really low. Because they travel all over the place.
They're wanderers.
The weather's got to be right. Like all that stuff.
Can't have too much wind.
So really, it's kind of like baseball. You should only bat 300. Shouldn't be batting 1,000 when you're out there.
If you are, people are starting to wonder. Yeah. Are you baiting them? Doing some weird stuff?
Chaining them to a tree and waiting until you go out there?
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
That doesn't actually happen.
Are you sure that's not how you got that one right there? Did you buy that from a farm? And
I think legal advice would tell me to stop talking. Yeah,
plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Tell us about your first buck, Miles.
Oh, it's a great story.
Yeah. How old were you?
Is it not embarrassing? I mean, I was like pretty young. I don't know, like 13.
Yeah. Gun hunting, bow hunting.
Gun hunting.
Okay.
I don't really bow hunt, mostly because my dad didn't bow hunt, so I just never did it growing up.
Yeah.
So I went hunting and I was actually in the stand with my dad and this little spike buck came walking in and I was all sorts of jittery, you know, the old buck fever, your heart starts beating, you're shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had a terrible shot.
Oh no.
Terrible.
Where'd you shoot it?
So my first shot, I think it was in its hind leg.
Oh God.
And then the second shot, it was a gut shot.
Oh, geez.
But we got her on the ground. You know, it didn't suffer for too long there.
Okay.
And then we walk up to it, and one of the spikes, the one of the antlers, didn't go up. It went like into its ear and like wrapped around the bottom side of the ear.
Weird.
It was really weird.
Did you put that Did you mount that?
No, God, no.
It would have been kind of funny if you did.
Yeah. And my uncle actually that was 17 years ago. So yeah, I've been 13 years old. 17 years ago, I shot my first buck and he showed the photo and I had the classic middle school long swooping hair over the front of the forehead.
The bob.
Embarrassing. Yeah. But I still wear the same like hat that I did back then.
Really?
Every year.
This the same.
It's like one that Velcros on the top and the flaps come down and go underneath.
It's your lucky deer hunting hat.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Well, that was nice. And did your dad teach you how to field dress it and everything? Yeah,
lots of heavy breathing, lots of gagging going on. I don't do well with the smells.
Ah,
it's not so much doing it; it's the smells that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not.
I was not built to work in sanitation. Let's just say that.
Got it. Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah, like I think smells will make me queasy more than seeing something bad.
Well, why don't you get a little nose plugger?
You could. Or we could go hunting together and you can just hold my nose shut while I'm gutting the deer.
That I would be honored to hold your nose shut.
That would be something else.
That would be a little
goofy. You can hold one of the legs too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd love to hold one of your deer legs. At that point,
I remember too, like one of the first times, like when you're, you know, cutting him open.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's such a weird, you're like, okay, so I'm just gonna grab the deer's nuts.
Yep. That's
the thing. Hold her to the side. You know, it's like, all right, this is, I don't know. It's like Chris Hansen going to pop out from one of the trees and tell me I'm getting a little too friendly with it or what?
Yeah, it is a weird thing.
But once you get over it, it's fine. But
yeah, you always think the person's messing with you when they teach you how.
Yeah, like, we shouldn't go, hey, you remember your first buck? It's like, you remember your first buck nuts?
Grab those. Now look for the anus. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad we're diving into this like that, Miles. It's nice. Hey, we got some fan sort of questions here.
Oh, really? And you guys do fan questions?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Are they good?
Some of them, yeah, are very good.
How many of them are mean?
None are mean. Don't worry. I took out all the mean ones. What, Miles, was your first impression of me when we first met?
My first impression was, one, this guy needs to get some sleep.
Oh, okay. Why the sleep thing? You brought that up before. Is it the eyes?
Yeah, it's a little bit the eyes.
Under the eyes.
You've been getting more sleep lately, though. I can tell.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
It's
the nicest thing you said to me.
I remember. So you're older than me.
Okay. Here we go.
No, this is like, so you're like 6 years older than me, right?
I'm 36.
Yeah. So you're 6 years older than me. And the way you carried yourself the first time we met, I could tell that you were more seasoned than I was. And I felt a little fish out of water.
Oh, you felt a little threatened.
No,
by
I
me,
just
maybe.
Felt like, okay, I got to be on my game because this guy knows what he's doing here.
Little did you know.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. So it was a little bit like, this guy's a comedian. Like, I got to be funny. I got to like hang with him here. I just remember that being not like intimidated, but just like, I got to be on my A game here because this guy knows what he's doing.
Mm, well, that's nice. Thanks for pumping my tires.
Because I remember at this point, I come full circle. We do this now a lot, but I only shot stuff on iPhone at that point. So I didn't even use a camera for any of my videos. And you showed up with a buddy.
Yeah.
And he had a whole rig set up with a camera. He had a gimbal. He was getting side. It was all over the place. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. All right. That was my buddy, Justin Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The School of Ope. That mm-hmm. was it. We shot that in Minneapolis.
You got oped. Start that.
That's a good one. Put that on it.
Kind of like punked, but Midwest style.
Midwest style. I like.
Oh, gotcha. That's
not bad.
All right, though. We could do
Thanks, Jared.
Prank show.
We could
call Oped.
Oped.
It's actually,
sell that. That's actually not a bad idea.
And all the pranks are like super mild.
Yeah.
Like they're not mean at all.
No.
Yeah. You put like green beans in a casserole instead of corn.
Or you're calling it, I call it casserole and not hot dish. Yeah. I brought 3.2% beer instead of the 4.1. Classic. You thought you were getting drunk, but you're not.
You're just getting bloated.
You just got oped.
All right. The next question is, what was my first impression of you?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. I will say this. First time I met you, you got out of the car. I went in for the hand hug. Where you shake the hand, you do the smack on the back. You were not for that. You maintained straight hand. It was an awkward first embrace. It's what I remember. That's what sticks in the dome.
I didn't grow up in a family that did a lot of embracing.
Well, neither did I, but I.
And just, so I think that's just probably part of my nature. Okay. I'm not a good embracer in general.
Okay. So first time meeting, it's just straight handshake.
But I have noticed that I was like that. And so I've tried to be more friendly with embraces.
Yeah. You've tried to give a little, the half hug, the.
Yeah. Or just, you know, if a guy puts his hand out and I like him, you know, just give him the hug.
Oh, there you go.
That pat, the big pat on the back.
Yeah. That's nice. Well, that was.
And then it's like, that's always paired with like a. And then like a, good to see you, man.
Cool bar here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice little small talk.
Well, yeah, I could see that.
I have shows coming up in Fargo. Is Miles going to do 5-minute set again?
I don't know, dude.
Why don't you know?
Because it consumes me. Like that 5 minutes, my entire day, I'm worried about it. And then I go up and do it and it's not that good. And I'm like, I just wasted a whole day on this for 5 minutes.
Well, Miles, that's the art of stand up right there.
I know. Honestly, I don't think folks understand how much work actually goes into stand up comedy. And like, how just through working with you and other comedians, the amount of respect I have for comedians is through the roof.
Including me?
Yeah, even you, Charlie. Wow.
Sweet.
But I am glad that I was able to get a peek under the hood with your comedy career to have the self-awareness. Not that like I couldn't do it, but that I just wouldn't be, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's not your thing. You got to be on the road a lot. You got to be
on the road a lot. There's a lot of writing involved. There's a lot of smaller shows, bombing, doing all that stuff. And I don't know. I just not for me.
Got it.
But you never know.
Well, because this leads into the next question. When are you guys going to do Bellied Up Live?
Well, we this summer we said we were going to do it this fall.
Yeah,
I think this fall we said we're going to do it this winter. So probably next fall we'll end up actually getting it done. Well, we've been talking about it.
We have. Actually, there's this new venue in Milwaukee. It's part of the Pabst Group. I forget the name of the venue. It's a new one. It's coming out. But they asked if we wanted to do a podcast there. So maybe
we've been floating it around.
Yeah.
Because essentially the idea is we would just do it like a normal Bellied Up podcast, but instead of callers, we would do like a lottery system and pull out numbers and people from the or ideas. People would submit their ideas when they walk in, and then we would go through and choose them and have them actually be audience members instead of callers, correct?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Something like that.
I almost like the idea of calling them up on stage.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be...
And bringing like having some sort of bar set up there, I don't know.
Yeah.
Instead of just like a table.
No, that's true. They could. We should have an actual bar up there on stage, and then they can actually belly up to the bar with us.
Yeah.
And the bar we should just have... be like in kind of Last Supper style, you know, where we're all facing the
sitcom style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun. I like that. Well, let's do it. We'll do it.
Conversation we had this summer. We will do it.
We will.
Just taking a little bit.
Yeah. No,
Hey, we're letting it marinate.
We are. I mean, I feel pretty confident about it.
I do too.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk,
last week the Badgers were shorthanded. Still, there were opportunities lost in a disappointing game against Indiana. In the second half, the defense did play much better, as that side of the ball continues to show improvement. Now it's a matter of getting more overall consistency, especially on offense, where it could be getting a bit more healthy today. That would be welcome news, as today's opponent is putting together a much more competitive season than most had expected. And as anyone who has paid attention knows, for more than 30 years, this series has been very, very close. From Camp Randall Stadium, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Northwestern Wildcats. The Badgers pregame show is underway.
On the Badger Sports Network, from Learfield.
Ron Dane has become the NCAA's all-time career rushing leader.
This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Still loose. The Badgers cover it up. Touchdown, Wisconsin. There it is.
And this game is underway with a bang. One more time, J.J. Watt.
Touchdown, Wisconsin. Hello.
On Wisconsin.
70 yards catch and run. Lee Evans, his fourth touchdown reception today.
Record-breaking run. Melvin Gordon, 4-0-8.
Picked off by T.J. Watt, and he is gone. The NCAA touchdown record belongs to Ball.
As the Badgers pour onto the field, they are Rose Bowl champions again.
10 of the 10, 10 of the 10, 10 of the 5. Touchdown, 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 Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
Badger football is on the air. Brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin Badgers. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
And welcome into Camp Randall Stadium. I'm Mike Heller. If November is defined as a finishing month, it began the same way that most of the games have begun so far for the Badgers this year, and that is slowly. Wisconsin 0-1 in November, a 20-14 loss at Indiana. Since 2014, Wisconsin is 27-8 in November, and in the interest of positive stats, the Badgers are 42-13 over the same time frame against fellow Big Ten West teams. All three games remaining are against Big Ten West opponents, the next two at home with Northwestern today at 2:30, Nebraska next Saturday night. But as Matt LePay joins me, let's talk about Michigan. Well, I'm only sort of kidding about that. We will talk about Michigan.
Let me put away my cameras first. I'll be right back with you.
Let's talk about this one. And you mentioned in the produced open that we might get a little healthier today. Officially, we probably don't know anything yet. But how do you view that, and what can you share with the listeners?
Well, it's questionable as they're officially listed with Tanner Mordecai, Braylon Allen, and Chimray DK. We'll get probably something a little bit more definitive here. Sooner than later, let's put it that way, before kickoff. That's kind of a weak tease there. I get it. I think, you know, they have raved about how, you know, Tanner Mordecai has really attacked or assaulted, as I referred to it, a rehab and getting himself. And we're talking, you know, what, 27 days, you know, when he had the broken hand fixed. But he's been, you know, getting some work in. So I think there is some optimism there. The other two, not quite so sure. Thus, they are all questionable, but we'll see. If they could put it to you this way, Mike, if they could get a guy like Mordecai back, you got the experience there. I thought Braden Lockett has done a nice job. Last week was a tough day for him. I get that. But I think there's some promise in his game. But if you're Tanner Mordecai, to get back out here if he can and help this team today and help himself, as I told you on your show, I mean, this is a multi-layered thing for someone like Mordecai. He's trying to put some stuff on tape for the NFL scouts, but he also wants to do everything he can to help his team. And he can do it in two different ways, his ability, or three, really, his leadership, you know, obviously the passing ability, and his ability to hurt defenses with his feet.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get into Coach Fickell's feels here, but I felt like he was the most disappointed last Saturday when that game finished than he has been at any point this season. You've been around him a couple of times since. Can that play into a positive today?
You hope so. This is the, you know, the cliche deal where you find out what you're made of here, and he preaches toughness, and it's, you know, he tells his guys that we all know this is a really rugged sport, and you really find out about yourself now, all the off-season stuff, and this year has not gone the way they had hoped or expected. But I think, you know, today and the rest of this season, they're going to learn a lot about these guys moving forward beyond 2023. So you hope so. They better be ready, because I don't know. I mean, the records tell us there isn't much that separates these teams. Northwestern has been much better than people expected. And as for Wisconsin, you win one more game, you're bowl eligible. But I think beyond that, they're just looking to play better football, especially offensively, Mike, maybe all the way around, but especially offensively, just be more consistent. Let that flash become something that's a little bit more sustained, and we'll see if they can do that here today.
We'll finish in a couple of minutes back on this one today, but I do want to ask you about Tony Petitti's decision as it relates to Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. It's significant. The whole country is talking about it. There was a lot of Big Ten involvement in this. How difficult do you believe Tony Petitti's position was this week before he handed down the three-game suspension yesterday?
I would think pretty delicate, to put it mildly. I'm surprised, because I've been very skeptical of all this, skeptical/cynical, thinking that, you know, whatever decision they come down with, we'll hear about it in January or February. But I did think if there would be a penalty, it would be a suspension for Harbaugh, and that's what it is. They're trying to get the temporary restraining order, which didn't happen for today, but there's going to be a hearing here soon where Michigan is fighting this to try to get Harbaugh back on the sideline. This is what's different about this, Mike, is that we're seeing all of this in real time.
Yeah.
Normally, it's well after the fact where a school is determined to be guilty of whatever it is it's guilty of, and then the penalties, you kind of backsell it where you're taking away wins or whatever, scholarships. This one happening in real time. So this is, you know, Petitti maybe showing a little bit of authority. Michigan fans would have a different term for that. But the bad news with all of this, Mike, for everybody, is that this is a soap opera that's going to keep dragging on and
sure.
on.
Sure, yeah. And one of the things that surprised me, I heard from Brett Bielema earlier this week, is that the other Big Ten coaches mostly have been outspoken. And traditionally, they would zip it and not talk about this until much later or in private circles. But there's been some outspokenness in his brethren in this conference from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, Brett did a pretty good job of staying out of it. He says if guilty, it's a bad thing, but they don't play Michigan this year. He made that clear to the media he was talking to down in Champaign. My thing with that is, you know, that's fine if you are going to accuse another program of breaking the rules, but the word of caution is you better make sure your
glass
own
houses.
Yeah, absolutely. Your own house better be clean, because you know that Michigan is going to be looking at you. And so I guess that's the thing that's a little bit interesting. Normally that stuff is done in a more private fashion, mm-hmm. you know, that you could have the Zoom calls and all that stuff. But, yeah, it's been pretty fascinating. Matter of fact, Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator at Penn State this week, they had this on social media where he was encouraging the Penn State fans to, you know, show up early, make lots of noise, but he was doing it by giving signals.
Oh, yeah.
So a little bit of a tweet going on there. By the way, Michigan leads at the half at Penn State 14-9. So you got a lot of people getting in their jabs, but be careful, because people do punch back.
Yeah. Well, let me bring you back to this one before we move forward, and that is the work that David Braun has done at Northwestern has been impressive. What do you see as the one of the keys or a couple of the keys about the matchup on the field today when they kick at 2:35?
Well, you know, we talk about Wisconsin and the health of its quarterback room with Northwestern. Ben Bryant, a transfer from Cincinnati, who had two tours at Cincinnati. Luke Fickell obviously coached him. He's considered a game-time decision. He's been out since being hurt in the game against Penn State more than a month ago. The thing about Northwestern, though, Brendan Sullivan is pretty mobile. Jack Lausch comes in kind of a wildcat setting. So you got a couple quarterbacks who can run if it's Sullivan and Lausch. So that, as we know, that has given Wisconsin some trouble this season. On the defensive side, Northwestern, good linebackers. You know, they've hung in there, but they've been really vulnerable against the run. I thought Wisconsin was going to run a little bit more last week, no matter who it is. If it's going to be mostly a Jackson Aker, Cade Iacomelli show, I'm thinking Wisconsin's still going to try to pound it a little bit more. And if Tanner gets in there, he can run it as well. I just see if they can kind of stick to that a little bit more this afternoon.
All right, very good. Matt LaPay on the call. Mark Tauscher will join him. The game will kick just after 2:35. Patrick Herb down on the sidelines. UW Athletics is proud to recognize the official products of Camp Randall Stadium, Brewpub, Lotsa Matzah Pizza, Old Dutch Potato Chips, and Pepsi on Wisconsin. When we come back, our pregame show continues. We'll hear from Wisconsin's Director of Athletics, Chris McIntosh. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Odyssey Brands is a proud partner of UW Athletics and a supporter of our Wisconsin dairy farmers. We believe in using only the highest quality ingredients. Four generations of cheese-making excellence goes into every batch of our Odyssey Greek yogurt and feta cheese. Check us out at odysseybrands.com.
We believe in education. We believe in public schools. At WEA Member Benefits, we believe in helping Wisconsin public school employees and their families achieve their financial goals by providing personal insurance, retirement and investment, and financial planning programs that are designed specifically for the education community. WEABenefits.com.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones, we know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need so you can focus on what's most important to you. Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
On Wisconsin, the Badgers play here. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
By the Badgers.
The Badgers play here. Tune into every game for Wisconsin football right here.
Wisconsin Badgers football on WFHR is brought to you by Members Advantage Credit Union, 8th Street Auto, Tri-City Services, and Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. Listen all season long on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Our pregame show continues. Time now for our Minutes with Mac, presented by Evans Transportation. Our weekly chat with Athletics Director Chris McIntosh. So many things going on. I don't think on this forum we've talked about the future schedules and the dates now set for Badger football. September 14th, Alabama. A bye, then going to USC. We talked on your show earlier in the week about season tickets. People are excited. I guess I would say, how can you not be when you look at the schedule in 2024?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it. You know, everything that our program has the potential to be magnetic. And you know, there's a lot of excitement amongst our fan base right now and a lot of support. And for that, I couldn't be more appreciative and grateful. We talked about what that means to have a schedule like the one we do coming up and the kind of opponents we have and the environment that those opponents will face at Camp Randall. And we talked about, you know, the Building Champions campaign and the new indoor, and there's a lot going on, and it all leads to trying to build something special. And I think that's really attractive to everybody involved, to our fans, to our staff, to our coaches, our players, and to future Badgers in the form of recruits that come through our building.
It's hard to believe, and I probably say this every year, we're in the month of November, there are only two home games left. It does go quickly, doesn't it?
It does go quickly. You know, it's that saying, you know, the days are long and the weeks are fast or the months are fast. The season goes by in the blink of an eye. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of progress made. And you know, obviously, there's a lot of work to be done. And there's a lot of learning that's taking place right now. And we haven't taken our eye off of the ultimate prize of what we're trying to build here in the long term. And I'm really happy and the approach that we're taking, and we're building it the right way, and that allows me to be confident as we go into the future.
All right, that's Chris McIntosh, and that is this week's Minutes with Matt, presented by Evans Transportation.
All right, thank you, Matt. When we come back, we'll check on our Badgers in the NFL, and still to come, we'll go visit with Dave Ennett, the voice of the Northwestern Wildcats, who just poked his head in. He'll be up in a bit, and Badgers in the NFL is coming up next. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
On Wisconsin, the fight song that boasts the winningness of the Badgers. Just like the claim, Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, touts our 46 years of triumph, thanks to towing, torque, payload, and more patents than the word fight is repeated in a fight song. Built Ford tough capabilities that make F-Series trucks the champions of can-do, and exactly why so many sing their praises. Shop your F-Series at your Wisconsin and UP Ford dealers, proud supporters of Wisconsin athletics, based on 1977 to 2022 CY total sales.
Hey, Badger fans, while we're celebrating today, there are over 21,000 Wisconsin veterans struggling to pay for rent and utilities. But you can make a difference in the lives of these Wisconsin heroes by donating to the Wisconsin Heat and Housing for Heroes Initiative today. Simply visit heatforheroes.org. That's heat, the number 4, heroes.org. Or by calling 800-891-9276.
Saturdays are made for football, and when the game is on, we're finally off. Off duty, offline, out of office. At Correct Coors Light is our do not disturb message to the world. On game day, we don't think about the 9-to-5, but worry about the 4th-and-1. So this Saturday, grab a Coors Light, press play on some pigskin, and pause on everything else. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshments, made to chill. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
At Crystal Farms, farm and family are at the heart of everything we do. It's why we source our dairy from family farms across the Midwest, and why we're proud to have a place on family dinner tables all over the heartland. For any family that cares about giving the best to those close to them and the farmers who help put food on all of our tables, we proudly offer Crystal Farms cheese. Crystal Farms, for farm and family. Learn more at crystalfarmscheese.com.
This is your home for the Badgers.
Kick is in the air, and it is good, and the Badgers win it!
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Let's face it, we're all on the go. Go to work, school, sports, appointments, family gatherings, you name it. Get on the road hassle-free with A Street Auto. With a wide range of inventory, financing options, and excellent customer service, you'll be on the go in no time. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find a car you deserve, priced to fit your budget. Shop their virtual showroom at 8thStreetAuto.com. Then stop by for a test drive.
Go to 8th Street Auto.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise financial advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
We continue with the Badgers pregame show, a 2:35 kick against Northwestern today at Camp Randall Stadium. I'm Mike Keller. Take this moment to thank all of our men and women who have served our country in the military on this Veterans Day. We say thank you to those who have served and also to those who are currently serving. Time for our Badgers in the NFL segment, presented by Cunis Auto RV Group, your trusted automotive dealer across the Midwest. Here's Nick Brusewitz.
We begin our Badgers in the NFL with Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. In the team's 27-13 win over the Panthers in Week 9, Taylor turned 18 carries into 47 yards, but his biggest impact was through the air, catching 5 passes for 22 yards, including this touchdown.
Back in, second down 8, Minshew, Taylor, Nelson up front, flies up front, he'll corkscrew in for the touchdown.
That call courtesy of CBS, Taylor has now reached the end zone once on the ground and once through the air through 5 active games this season, and he'll look to get another score Sunday when Indy takes on the Patriots in Germany. In Philadelphia, tight end Jake Ferguson had a career night in the Cowboys' 28-23 loss to the Eagles. He caught 7 passes for 91 yards and even reached the end zone.
Quick throw. Ferguson is in. Touchdown.
That highlight from Fox, Ferguson has now scored a touchdown in back-to-back games, and he has 3 scores overall in his sophomore campaign with Dallas. In one of the more unconventional storylines in the league this season, former Badgers running back Dare Ogunbowale had to step in to serve as the Texans' place kicker in Week 9 after their starter Kaimi Fairbairn got hurt, nailing this 29-yard field goal to give them a 33-30 lead in the fourth quarter.
Ogunbowale, 7-year NFL veteran, normally a running back. The field goal attempt.
The call courtesy of CBS, Houston won the game 39-37, and Ogunbowale's kick will forever be legendary. Finally, in Pittsburgh, the Steelers were able to take down the Titans 20-16 on Thursday Night Football in Week 9, and linebacker T.J. Watt recorded another sack, raising his season total to 9.5. T.J. is up to 87 career sacks through 95 games. Only his brother J.J. with 87.5 and Reggie White with 105 have more through their first 100 career contests. That's Badgers in the NFL for this week. I'm Nick Brusewitz.
All right, thank you, Nick. Let me give you an update, by the way, on Dare Ogunbowale. The Houston Texans have signed former chief Matt Amendola, so Amendola will kick this weekend, not Dare Ogunbowale, unfortunately. So that's a little bit of what's going on. Still to come, we'll check around the Big Ten. And coming up next, we'll visit with the voice of the Wildcats, Dave Ennett, stopping into our booth. You're listening to Badger Football from Learfield.
The football season is a nonstop adrenaline-fueled push to the end zone. So show your team colors and fanatic passion all season long for the Badgers with your favorite red and white gear. Shields has proudly partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to bring you your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to kick off every Badgers game with a touchdown. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics and football fans everywhere.
Relationships.
Building them.
Making them last a lifetime.
Since 1978, Clary has worked to develop true relationships with you, our customers. Hi, I'm Sean Clary, president of Clary Building Corp. Relationships are what drive our success. So whether you are looking at storage for your toys or a new egg building, we hope to exceed your expectations each time we serve you. We are here for every stage of your life. Build your dreams today at clarybuilding.com.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
With the Badgers, every touchdown is more than just a touchdown. It's a testament to the teamwork, elbow grease, and can-do attitude it takes to make it to the end zone. And while our fields aren't the kind you throw passes on, Case IH knows every successful farm is more than just a farm. It's the product of top-notch tillage, planting, harvesting, hay, and forage equipment at the hands of hardworking growers. Settle the score with superior tools by visiting your local Case IH dealer or go to caseih.com/badgers. On Wisconsin.
This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Oh, what a catch! Touchdown, Wisconsin!
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Entro y pinté el lado de afuera.
Yo le di a la gente que le diga a su familia lo que está pasando con él.
Si algo se nota diferente, podría ser Alzheimer. Es momento de hablarlo. Visita alz.org/nuestras historias para saber más. Un mensaje de The Alzheimer's Association y The Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Mike Heller back with you at Camp Randall Stadium. I'll get you a full run around the Big Ten here in our next segment, but I'll give you an update. Michigan leads at Penn State 14-9, 11:40 to play in the third quarter there, and Indiana leads Illinois at the half 27-26. No defense being played in Champaign today. There's no denying the turmoil that surrounded Northwestern football this offseason. Northwestern fired longtime head coach Pat Fitzgerald in early July, 3 days after releasing the results of an investigation into hazing allegations within the program. David Braun has been named the interim coach and has done a very good job. I imagine, Dave Ennett, when you have been on other broadcasts, you have heard that intro over and over and over again this year because it has been the storyline. But let's talk about what this team has done, because under David Braun, they have been more successful this year than I think most thought that they would, especially considering the turmoil that brought into camp.
No question about it, Mike. I mean, I think that this was a team, even before all the upheaval this summer, that was being picked to finish at or near the bottom of the Big Ten West, and they still might, but I think you look at their body of work, and after a rough start on the road at Rutgers to open the season, Rutgers turned out to be an improved team, and that, I guess in retrospect, that doesn't look as bad as it did at the time, but some nice wins over Minnesota and Maryland, some tough losses that they probably should have won
against last week.
Nebraska and Iowa, and they'd be right there here going into the final couple weeks of Big Ten play. Very much in the picture in the Big Ten West. And look, the way this division is, who knows what can happen to the winner of this game here today. But, I think David's done a great job. These players have played hard. They've made some great strides. They've been a lot better defensively than they were a year ago. And if not for the injury to Ben Bryant, they finally had some consistency at the quarterback position, which they've lacked pretty much with one year exception when Peyton Ramsey played since Clayton Thorson hung it up after the 2018 season.
Dave Ennett joins us. He's the voice of Northwestern football. What's your perspective on this incredibly strange Big Ten West? You might have thought I was going to talk about Harbaugh. We might still. But this Big Ten West, it's extraordinarily hard to figure out.
Well, it is. And, I mean, I guess you can look at it as being the cup half empty or half full, or is it half not so good? That might be the way people look at it. I think it's, if you're going to have divisions, and you're not going to have them after this year, but you would certainly want the division to be competitive and go down to November to figure it out. Yeah. And so I guess, has it always been pretty? Certainly not. Do you have an offensive juggernaut in the Big Ten West? Absolutely not. But you do have some teams that have played pretty good defense. Yeah. I think Wisconsin you would put in there. And maybe Wisconsin would be an offensive juggernaut if not for the injuries. But I think you look at the defense played by Iowa. You look at even Illinois at times and the way Northwestern's played on defense at times. So, you know, I think that that's kind of what the Big Ten has always sort of modeled itself on, right, is hard-nosed, rugged teams playing good, solid defense, especially trying to stop the run and to run the football. And, you know, I think that's what you've seen in this division.
Part of what has put Northwestern in a better position than some anticipated, they've only lost one fumble this season.
Yeah.
They're allowing 173 yards